This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of the Naz and Wally Sports Hour, heard Sunday mornings at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
The world doesn't need another sports show. It needs an awesome sports show. You're listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Good morning, Naz. Good morning, Wally. The boys are back. Let's talk sports.
Good morning and welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. I'm your host, Walter Rigabon. Joining me as usual, my co-host, Naz Marchese. Good morning, Naz. How are you?
Good, Wally. How are you?
I'm doing great. Also joining us this morning, former Washington Capitol Toronto Maple Leaf Leapin' Lou Franceschetti. Good morning, Lou. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Everything good, Lou?
Everything's great on a great Sunday morning here.
Yeah, Leaf fans are happy this morning. Naz, I would say pretty good week for the Leafs this week. Jersey Tuesday night, Edmonton last night.
Thank our lucky stars we have Mitch Marner.
what a performer.
What a player. Oh my God, he's the MVP of the team this year for sure.
Yeah, we had a game that was going, and to all our listeners, I hope you remember to put your clocks forward. Naz, did I get that right? You spring forward,
spring
fall
ahead.
Back.
Yeah, you got it right. Yep.
So it's it would have been 8:09 at this time last Sunday morning. Now we're on Eastern Daylight Time, so we've sprung an hour forward. Hopefully our listeners were able to get out of bed a little bit earlier this morning. It's kind of tough driving down here in the dark. Hopefully that'll change. But certainly last night, Naz, Leafs got themselves down. A remarkable goal by Mitch Marner, the second goal of the evening. Kind of a boneheaded play by the Edmonton defenseman
It was a forward. McLeod.
Oh, it was a forward. Sorry. You're right, Naz. Trying to pass it across the middle of the ice down low. And Mitch Marner, who's got reflexes like the proverbial cat, he ate that one up, and remarkable stick handling to get it past the Edmonton goalie. And from there, the Leafs scored three goals in 3 minutes and turned the whole game around. Although I got to be honest with you, Naz, I thought Tuesday's performance. Last night they beat an Edmonton team coming off a great victory against the Bruins in Boston. But the way the Leafs won the game Tuesday night, now maybe I'll turn over to you, Lou, to get you involved. I thought that was perhaps even more impressive. Road game, they had to storm. They had to withstand Jersey's pressure in the first period. They held up. The Leafs sort of scrambled to keep themselves in, got themselves behind in the third period, and scrambled back with two goals. I thought that was a pretty impressive performance, Lou.
It really was, and I know the type of team that Lindy Ruff has. It's really a hardworking team, putting a lot of pressure on the puck at all times. And it just goes to show you, any game right now, the Leafs were down two goals. And if you don't take your back check right to the net, you more or less you get caught. More or less, I don't even know how you say it. It's just that, Kemp made a great play, put it to puck where Bunting was, and the back checker just forgot completely about him, and he was probably about 2 feet away. So the Leafs, that game did impress me a lot more than did last night. I don't think if either team plays as like they did last night, either team's not going to go too far, because I thought it was a very sloppy game on both parts. And it just goes to show you that I think the Leafs are only going to go as far as their four stars are going to go, and Edmonton's always going to go as far as McDavid takes them.
Well, Naz, the proverbial cliche is your best players have to be your best players, and certainly last night, from the Toronto Maple Leafs' perspective, Marner, goal and three assists, if I'm not mistaken, 4-point game, Tavares, a couple of goals, Nylander, Matthews, Certainly, their best players rose to the occasion last night, Naz.
Yeah, they sure did. And but the goaltending was horrible. The 5 total goals were scored last night. Oh my God, everything's going through these guys. The goaltending was not very good last night.
Well,
that was part of the issue. Why the high scoring game?
Yeah, certainly on both sides. I can't say Matt Murray had his best game. It's difficult to criticize a goalie when your team ends up winning. And certainly, after Edmonton got their 3 goals, he sort of shut it down for the rest of the game. After the Leafs, had that flurry of activity. It's tough to criticize Murray after a victory and after, holding the fort for the last half of the game. But, his last 4 games, he's given up 4 goals in each game. And that ain't going to win too many games in the playoffs.
The starter's going to be Samsonov. It has to be because Murray hasn't played well at all.
Lou, Murray was brought in to be the number one, and I think Sheldon Keefe's giving him, he just came back from the injury, and I don't want to beat up on Matt Murray after a victory, he was brought in to be the number one, and I think Sheldon Keefe's going to give him every opportunity to be the number one going into the playoffs, but I think he's got to play a little bit better, doesn't he, Lou?
He definitely does, and when you go on and see here that signing Matt Murray was going to be a crapshoot, it was more or less, we knew how good he was. He did win a Stanley Cup many years ago with Pittsburgh, but the last 4 years he's been really injury-prone, and he really hasn't owned up to his contract. So now, with Keith going, he's not rolling the dice. He's more or less, he's alternating nights. He wants to see if Matt Murray will step up to the forefront and take over that number one goalie spot. But with the Leafs having that extra home game and the other goalie there, the Russian kid, I can't remember his name now, he's standing on his head every time they play at home. I think he's probably got the lead right now on who's going to be the number one goalie going into the playoffs.
Yeah, certainly. It seems that way, but we got some hockey to go and presume. So go ahead, Ness. Sorry.
Wally, what about Rasmus Sandin? 8 points in 4 games. And leads Washington defenseman in ice time. Yeah, can you believe that?
Well, I haven't watched those games.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, well, you know. Well, let's. It's an early test. We'll see how that plays out. The body of work isn't extensive just yet to make a final evaluation. But that's the risk. It sort of reminds me of who's that other defenseman the Leafs had. Ended up being
Claire Alexander.
No, not the milkman, Ness. Not going that far back. It was a Swedish defenseman. His name escapes me. That we shipped him out of town, and then he ended up being a key part of the Tampa Stanley Cup wins. I can't even remember.
Oh,
his
yeah,
name.
Yeah, yeah. I know you.
I'm gonna have to Google that one. Thank God for Google that it solves all problems. But his name escapes me right now. Anyways, on that note, we're gonna take the break. We're gonna come back with Barry Melrose. We're gonna keep talking NHL hockey, a little bit more a little bit more Leafs talk. And bottom end of the hour, we've got Brian Crawford, who's a tournament director at at the RBC Canadian Open. The Canadian Open's coming to Oakdale in June. Oakdale has a lot of memories for a lot of us kids. A lot of us caddied there when we were kids, and we're going to start the Canadian Open talk. And really looking forward to this year's Canadian Open. And we've got Brian Crawford, the tournament director, to talk about it. We'll be right back.
No hard crosses.
It was a rainy day when Pizzaville decided to do what it could to stop world prices from spiralling out of control. With the large pickup special, get a large one-topping pizza for only $11.99. $11.99 for a large pizza?
Long live Pizzaville!
Call Pizzaville for the large pickup special at 736-3636.
Rayo's got big nose!
Or online at pizzaville.ca.
There are lawyers at Miller Thompson who know your industry. They'd like to introduce you to theirs. It starts with relationships. It's not just about happy clients. They support thriving business partners. Miller Thompson infuses law with the same tenacity you bring to your work. whether supporting your daily operations or offering urgent legal advice. But that's enough about them. Let's talk about you. Visit MillerThompson.com and find out how they can move your business forward.
We all value our sporting heroes. But what price would you put on one in mint condition? If you ask us, you'll get an honest answer. Mint Inc., trading cards and sports merchandise, is looking to buy your vintage collection of hockey, basketball, baseball, football, and soccer heroes. Come and see us in person at our new Toronto Mint Inc. Gallery at 198 Davenport, east of Avenue Road, or visit our store online at mintink.ca. Show us what you got, and we'll show you the money. Think Mint Inc.
Passion. It drives athletes, entrepreneurs, family businesses, and fast-growing companies. It's also what inspires KPMG Enterprise to help drive success. A dedicated audit, tax, law, and advisory practice, KPMG Enterprise delivers ideas and insights. Whether you want to grow your business, embrace technology, plan for an exit, or manage the transition of wealth, search KPMG Enterprise, understanding what it takes to make your business even better.
It was a rainy day when Pizzaville asked, "Do you want to meet the hot Hawaiian of your dreams? This hot Hawaiian is slathered in bacon, red onion, spicy sausage, pineapple, and hot banana peppers. A large thin crust is just $16.99. One bite and you'll say, 'Lew, wow!' You might even get a lay on the beach. Call Pizzaville at #3636 on your cell phone."
You name it, they'll argue about it. No sport left unturned. The boys are back, the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live on AM 740 in downtown Toronto, 96.7 FM, and live video and audio streaming, www.zoomerradio.ca. We were hoping to have Barry Melrose on with us this morning. I spoke with him yesterday. Have been able to connect this morning. Of course, it's a change of clocks and it's live radio. You never know what you're going to get on live radio. But we will keep trying and hopefully we can get him on the show. Guys, we were having a spirited Leafs discussion. We were talking about the goaltending, Matt Murray and Samsonov. And we've got also got Joseph Woll, Naz. So what's Keefe's game plan on the goaltending? I think he's got to sort of find the goalie with the hot hand at that time at the end of the season and ride the hot hand.
Well, there's only 17 games left, so they better make a decision pretty soon.
Anyways, right? Naz, I'm going to interrupt you there because we do have Barry Melrose on the phone. Good morning, Barry. How are you this morning?
Good morning. How are you guys?
We're doing fantastic. Thanks so much for joining us, Barry. We're having a spirited Leafs discussion. So as our producer made you aware, we also have Leap and Lou Franceschetti on the phone with us this morning. I don't know if you had any run-ins with him back in the 1980s, but...
I had some run-ins with Leap and Lou.
So, Barry, we're all getting excited in Leafs land. Obviously, this is, our audience is Southern Ontario, Western New York. Our signal is the fourth most powerful radio AM signal in North America, so it probably runs into your area of New York as well. We'd like your analysis of the Toronto Maple Leafs. We've just come off a spirited trade deadline pickup, six players. What's your sense of the Toronto Maple Leafs? We've got all this pressure in Leafland about trying to survive and get past the first round. We'd like your, from outside of the greater Toronto area, what's the buzz the Leafs are making and how do you break them down?
Well, I consider myself an expert because I grew up in Western Canada and Toronto was my favorite team. And I was one of those guys that were watching the Toronto Maple Leafs in the Stanley Cup Finals in 67, which they didn't win, and they haven't been in the Finals since. And I've seen them year after year after year spend tons of cash, as much as any, never had a problem getting things. Toronto Maple Leafs wanted, Toronto Maple Leafs got it. And for the most part, especially this year, they've done everything right. if you look back at the start, you know, this Toronto Maple Leaf team has made the right trades. They've got what they wanted. For the most part, they've been relatively healthy. When you compare them to other teams, they've been very healthy, but that can't be an excuse because those are guys that win the Stanley Cup, have to fight through injuries. So there is a tremendous amount of talent. Tremendous. I think the coaching staff is good. I know a lot of the guys. This should be, you know, like this should be like Tampa Bay. This should be a team that's in it every year, and you know, this team right now is as good as any team in the NHL, and you know, never had a problem getting resources. So now, saying that, will this team do it and become the most favored Leaf team since the 1967 Leaf team, or are they going to fall on their face like some other Leaf teams have done over the years? But they've had every resource, and they've fired coaches, they've fired general managers. You know, there's no excuses. They've had everything. So, you know, us long begotten Toronto Maple Leaf fans, you know, we're starting the parade. We've got the parade on paper, so it's just a time to get things going here and make this the team of memories, so to speak.
Certainly, I'll turn it over to you, Naz, to follow up on that.
Barry, are the Bruins unstoppable?
You know what? I know they're not. And this great team, all this talent might be a weak link, because I really believe that you have to play well going in. We've seen too many teams win the Stanley Cup. The Kings 1 year won it with making the playoffs on the last day, and you had all these other teams that were, you know, very very good teams and were just waiting to carry the cup around. And LA finished last and ended up winning the cup. As a matter of fact, winning two in a row. So there are weaknesses, but you know, they're going to be, you know, when we had this much success, you've got to make sure you're ready to play every night, and you don't take any nights off, and you're doing things right, and you're mentally prepared and you're physically prepared. So I'm scared of a team that's had too much good success. I like a team that's had to battle and scratch and claw and maybe be down 3-2 or something, and have to win 2 games in a row to get to the Stanley Cup or get to the next round. I like teams like that. And so far, Boston hasn't had to do that. Are they an immense favorite? Yes. The records bear it out. You know, they've done things that no other team has done in the NHL, and that makes you pretty special. But then you get to the question, did they use too much to make the playoffs? You know, things like that. So we'll... But I'm scared. I'm scared too much success. I like a team that's an ugly, dirty, grimy, greasy team that scores ugly goals and fights and hits and I like those type of teams. And Boston's got every indication of having that. But I've seen too many good teams and great teams get beat. So I'm not a firm, complete believer yet. They got to show me. I'm from Missouri.
Well, they got the jinx of finishing first overall, which more often than not, yep, the team that, yep, finishes first, that's overall, exactly right, doesn't win, yep, the Stanley Cup. So, nope, we'll see if we can. I'm going to turn it over to Leapin' Lou Franceschetti. Lou, join us.
Barry, how's the lovely city or town of Glen Falls? If that's what you're making a home, isn't it?
I'm in Tampa Bay.
Well, sorry, even better.
It got too cold, so we all moved just like the Krampus. We put everything in our truck and took off.
We're going to go back here a few years. You were behind the bench in L.A. in 92-93, I think, when the famous Gretzky high stick on Dougie Gilmore. And what did you think of the call back then? And you just went through the great way of the way we used to play the game a few years ago. What do you think where the game is going nowadays compared to back then?
I would say I like the game now. I like skill. It's still a physical game more so than, you know, the fighting's gone. There's no fighting anymore. When a fight breaks out, that's almost everyone shocked. But there is some physical play. There is tremendous amount of skill, and I do love that. I love the young guys we have in our game now. You know, they're so good, so fast. It's really interesting to see what comes out next. We got pucks going over the heads and under the arms and through the legs, and we got kids that can do anything. And I do think the product's good. I think the product's really good. We've got great teams in our big markets, which every major sport likes. You know, so that's positive. But I'm pro NHL. I think the Gary Bettman has done a great job. If you look at the revenues now as compared to when Gary took over in '93, it's just an immense increase in revenues for the NHL, and that's good for everybody, players, owners, everybody. So I'm pro NHL. I'm pro pretty well everything. There's a couple things I'd like to fix if I was boss for a day, but overall, it's been a good, you know, 20-25 years for the NHL, and hopefully it'll continue. Games outdoors. We got games outdoors everywhere, and beautiful games outdoors, and places like that. So, when me and you were walking down Yonge Street, there wasn't any games outdoors. I can guarantee you that. There was cars going up and down Yonge, but there was no games outside. So. I think overall the NHL is in very good shape and has been run very, very well.
Barry, we're talking to Barry Melrose. Barry, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions from your perspective. Put your coaching perspective on, and we'd like you to look at these from your history as a coach in the NHL. And the fact that you're in Tampa, that segues me to a coaching move that happened a little over a week ago. John Cooper decided to bench his three best players in a game. I think it was a week, Saturday night. Tampa came out the next night and I think got shut out pretty bad. Your thoughts on that move by John Cooper? That's a move that, you know, coaches used to make quite often, I guess, in the old days. Maybe not your three best players for an entire period. Players are a little bit different these days. Your perspective on that coaching move?
That move, interesting you say that, because when I was coaching Los Angeles, I benched Jari Kurri and I benched Charlie Huddy in a game in Chicago. And was it their problem? Was it because of them that we were losing? We were in a little bit of a slump. No, but I had to do something. And I looked at the team. I thought, you know, who could take it the best? Where would I get the most out of this if I do? Because it is for the coach to do that to a popular player and a big name player. There is a lot of risk. If the players are weak mentally, they'll cry and blame the coach for everything bad. So you got to have character. You got to have the right guys. You might take them in your office and tell them why you're doing this. Look, I got to get some life in this team. I need it bad. You two can take it. You're veteran players. I know you're going to be asked some questions and stuff, but this is the idea I have and I want to do it. So I benched Jari Kurri and I benched Charlie Huddy one night in Chicago. We won the game. Oh, and that helps. When you win the game, when you do that and you win the game, that is really good. That's God on your side. I guarantee you that. So I benched those two guys. We won the game. And then we ended up going and playing for the Stanley Cup Finals. And Jari and Charlie both had great series and were tremendous players. And that's one of the reasons I picked those two guys to sit out. So I think a coach has to do some things like that. It has to take some risks. Things get stagnant. Things need to change. Things players need a kick in the butt. So when they were doing this in Tampa, I thought it was the right thing to do too. I thought it was a really good move, and we'll see if that pays dividends for the coaching staff. But you just can't go and open the doors and not, if your team is struggling a little bit, you gotta wake them up and shake them up a little bit, and hopefully what you did is right, and hopefully the players that you chose to do this have the right amount of character, and hopefully it works, and the coach looks like a genius rather than an idiot, and so we'll see what happens. But I thought the moves are good. I like coaches that take risks and do things and try things, and Coop has done a lot of that. He's a heck of a coach. His teams are ready to play every night for the most part, he's one of the best coaches, two or three coaches in the NHL. I don't think there's any question about that.
Pretty tough to argue with his track record, two Stanley Cups in this era, so it's pretty tough to be critical of John Cooper. I'm going to follow up with one question, Barry, and then I'm going to turn it over to Naz for a wrap-up of this. Leafs brought in six players at the trade deadline. Luke Shen hasn't been able to only join for one game. His wife is delivering their third child. He'll be joining, I believe, this week, Monday night, perhaps. What are the challenges to a coach to integrate basically change one third of your lineup literally overnight in the middle of a season as you're making a stretch drive? What are the challenges from a coaching perspective, if any, Barry?
There's challenges. I think you've seen it. A power play is a great example. Boston has the. Boston has the best power play in the NHL, and they made some deals, and all of a sudden you got eight guys that can play the power play, and who's to say which one's the best? You've got the best power play in the NHL before you made the trades, really the only thing that can happen is it can go down, right? If you got a 35-40% power play, how do you risk that? How do you break that up? And you saw it when these great players went to other teams, the power plays weren't as good. So you got to be very careful the deals you make. Like I said, when you make a deal like that, or make a trade or whatever, you got to hope that that you get dividends right away, because that is great. That's good news for everybody. That's good news for the player, the coaching staff, everybody. So I think you have to try things, like I said earlier, if you make a trade and everything, you got three lines you can score now instead of two. That's what you're looking for as a coach, and now you've got six power penalty kill guys rather than four. You took a chance, and hopefully that'll be the right call.
Naz, I'll turn over to you to wrap this up. Go ahead, Naz.
Yeah. Your thoughts on Connor McDavid and how he compares to Wayne Gretzky?
Whoa, wow. But I'm a Gretzky guy, so Gretz is going to be the best player, if you ask me. I saw him play in the WHA, just the numbers. We were just laughing. The numbers bear it out. Gretz's numbers are fantastic. Connor McDavid is an unbelievable player. Depending on your era, there's a good chance that people will say that he was the greatest, that McDavid was the greatest player. But I'm a Gretzky guy. I've seen what he does. I've seen the points he put in. I've seen the way he treats people. I've seen how he and don't forget, this guy built the NHL. People forget that when he got traded to LA, that completely changed the game. And all of a sudden, and Bruce McDonald, the owner of LA, used to say, "You guys should all pay me. You shouldn't pay the teams. You should pay me. Theoretically, he's right. You know, he's the guy that made the NHL so amount of money, changed the NHL, made it a national league rather than a regional league. And without a doubt, Gretzky was the guy that made that happen. So he's different. Gretz by no means was the fastest guy in the NHL. Didn't have the hardest shot, but he was one of the best four or five guys in the NHL. And he was a great leader for everybody in the NHL, player-wise and also team-wise. And really the only... I always look at when things happen. I wish Gretz could have stayed in one team and played. I think that's another thing why he's the best player that's ever played. He didn't worry about stuff like that. Whereas everyone else is, why would Gretz do that? He could be there the rest of his life, but he wanted to go to try different things. And he wanted to win in California, and that never happened. But so as far as I'm concerned, Gretz is the greatest player ever. So we'll see what happens, but I think he's the greatest player ever.
Well, we've been talking to Barry Melrose. Barry, thanks so much for joining us. We're still having problems getting over 1993, but maybe maybe this is the year we forget it all. We can't thank you enough for joining us this morning, and we always appreciate your insights and your passion for the game of hockey. Thank you
Anytime,
so much.
Guys. Take care, and hopefully you'll be at the parade.
We certainly hope so. Thanks so much, Barry. Barry Melrose.
Take care.
We're going to go to break, and we'll come back with the tournament director of this year's Canadian Open, the RBC Canadian Open at Oakdale, Brian Crawford. We'll be right back.
We all value our sporting heroes. But what price would you put on one in mint condition? If you ask us, you'll get an honest answer. Mint Inc., trading cards and sports merchandise, is looking to buy your vintage collection of hockey, basketball, baseball, football, and soccer heroes. Come and see us in person at our new Toronto Mint Inc. Gallery at 198 Davenport, east of Avenue Road, or visit our store online at mintink.ca. Show us what you got, and we'll show you the money. Think Mint Inc.
Passion. It drives athletes, entrepreneurs, family businesses, and fast-growing companies. It's also what inspires KPMG Enterprise to help drive success. A dedicated audit, tax, law, and advisory practice, KPMG Enterprise delivers ideas and insights. Whether you want to grow your business, embrace technology, plan for an exit, or manage the transition of wealth, search KPMG Enterprise, understanding what it takes to make your business even better.
There are lawyers at Miller Thompson who know your industry. They'd like to introduce you to theirs. It starts with relationships. It's not just about happy clients. They support thriving business partners. Miller Thompson infuses law with the same tenacity you bring to your work, whether supporting your daily operations or offering urgent legal advice. But that's enough about them. Let's talk about you. Visit MillerThompson.com and find out how they can move your business forward.
The only thing I love more than sports is sports radio. Take it away, boys. The Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live on AM 740 in Toronto, 96.7 FM, and we live video and audio stream on the internet, www.zoomerradio.ca. We're pleased to welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour the tournament director of the RBC Canadian Open, Brian Crawford. Good morning, Brian. How are you? And thank you for joining us.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on. Happy Players Sunday.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, it should be phenomenal. Should be a phenomenal afternoon of golf down at Sawgrass. Brian, I look out the window here at studio down in Liberty Village, and I see nothing but white. But we're thinking green this morning. The the Canadian Open men's is coming to Oakdale, which has an incredible amount of memories for me, personal memories. I caddied there when I was a kid at the age of 9 and 10. So for me, it's almost like the Open is coming home, and I'm thrilled that it's coming to Oakdale. Brian, tell us all about where we're at. That there's, I'm sure you're, you've got a lot of logistics you're working on. So I'll give you an opportunity. Tell us all about the Open at Oakdale this year.
Yeah, absolutely. We're thrilled to bring the RBC Canadian Open to Oakdale for the first time. You know, it's a club that you know, not many people are necessarily as familiar with, given, which is, you know, maybe somewhat surprising given the fact that it, you know, is a classic Stanley Thompson course. It's going to be celebrating its 100th anniversary in 2026. So, you know, it's just a fantastic venue, 27 hole venue. So, a massive amount of space to be able to work with and host an event the size of ours. You know, really located in the heart of Toronto at the 400 and the 401. So, you know, accessible from all over the greater GTA. Just a great club and membership that is, you know, just so thrilled to be able to welcome the world to their property and their golf club, and you know, and host the world's best players. So really excited. June is not too far away. We're under 3 months away from the Open, which is kind of unbelievable given the amount of snow that we've got at the moment. But lots going on now as we start to push towards the finish line of the Open taking place.
Before I turn it over to Naz, I just want to get this in before I forget it. Brian, just tell our listeners, tickets, I presume they're available. Where do they get them? And are there any volunteer opportunities if people want to volunteer?
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, the tickets are actually on sale now. RBCCanadianOpen.com is where people can check that out, or Ticketmaster, of course. So all of our ticket products went on sale just a couple of weeks ago. We're still actively recruiting volunteers. We need about 2,300 volunteers to put on the RBC Canadian Open. So it absolutely can happen without, you know, the volunteers and the commitment and time and energy that they put into it. And we have some amazing ones. We have a couple people celebrating 30 and even someone 40 years volunteering with the RBC Canadian Open this year. So we're pretty excited to recognize and honor those people during tournament week. So information about volunteering as well can be found at RBCCanadianOpen.com.
I will tell you, Brian, if I was younger, I'd volunteer to caddy, but I want to rediscover my caddying at Oakdale, but bags are a little bit too heavy for me nowadays, so
I would propose just enjoying the event from you know, one of the better holes, maybe 9 or something like that. We get to see the par 3 in action, head over to the rink hole, something like that.
Yeah, certainly that's more my style nowadays. Naz, I'll turn it over to you.
How does the next Argo become tournament director of the Canadian Open Golf Tournament?
That is a very good question. When you find out the answer, let me know. It's funny. I've worked in sport my entire kind of professional career. So certainly, you know, as an athlete, having, you know, very good fortune to get to have a, you know, fairly lengthy playing career in Toronto, and not only that, being a Hamiltonian playing for the Argos is a whole other thing. But it was able to kind of put me on a pathway towards working in sport administration, and I had the great fortune to work in university sport for quite a long time, and I worked for our national basketball program, Canada Basketball, and yeah, somehow found my way into golf, and certainly found that kind of having a really wide lens and being from outside of the sports that I was working in actually was really quite beneficial, and being able to you know, look at the challenges that we had to address and come up with creative solutions and you know, try to drive those positive results. So it's been a tremendous experience, and very lucky to have the opportunity to work on this on a daily basis, and we're excited to introduce Oakdale to the world and have another successful year here in 2023.
Lou, I'll turn it over to you.
Brian, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
I literally grew up 3 blocks away from Oakdale, so I know
there's a lot of us.
I know the area pretty well. I know the golf course very well. Question for you is, fans, where are they going to park, and what's the gridlock going to be getting in and out of that area during that whole week?
because I know how congested it is right now, and I know how congested it could get. Where are fans going to be able to park and get to the venue? And also, what is the the Canadian Golf Association doing regarding the traffic in the area?
Yeah, so, well, we're very fortunate. I mean, part of what makes Oakdale such a great host property is not just, of course, the golf course and the size of the property itself, but, you know, some of the surrounding support, supportive infrastructure, which is really what is, you know, one of the bigger factors in being able to find host venues. You know, there's lots of great golf courses inside the ropes. It's kind of all the other things that, you know, are really the deciding factor. So Downsview Park is literally 9 minutes down the road from Oakdale. So all of our parking will be taking place down at Downsview Park, which also allows us to use mass transit, the subway station, GO trains, those sorts of things that all come into Downsview Park. People will be able to take mass transit options to Downsview and then shuttle over to the golf course, basically a straight run right down Shepherd. So it's a really convenient and actually quite a bit even more convenient than we had last year at St. George's. So they'll come down right down Shepherd and be able to drop off right at the golf course. And so it should be a really nice, quick, seamless experience. You know, lots of people like to use rideshare these days as well. And we have, you know, thousands of rides that are taking place kind of on daily basis to the RBC Canadian Open over the last couple tournaments. So that'll continue to be a really great option as well. And, you know, the fact that you've got, you know, major highways, you know, the 400, the 401, the 407, all around it, you know, it makes it a really accessible option for us. And one of the factors that was such an appealing thing for us to be able to have access to host the tournament.
We're talking to Brian Crawford. Brian, you know, last year's tournament at St. George's was, in my estimation, one of the most exciting on the PGA Tour. I mean, watching the 18th hole last year where Rory was surrounded, you know, fans just poured out onto the fairway. It reminded me of that Tiger scene at East Lake about 10 years ago. And all those times when Jack and Arnold were at the British Open, and it was just an incredible tournament at St. George's. You had that. We've got that rink hole, which gives us that Canadian touch, which was spectacular. And I understand this year we may even be getting the Snowbirds. So, you know, the Canadian Open has really become in a lot of ways so distinctive because you guys are doing a fantastic job of bringing the Canadian element to the PGA Tour. Tell us about that.
Yeah, you know, I think that's certainly one of the, you know, most important factors in the RBC Canadian Open, that it is our national championship. You know, we're the third oldest event there is on the PGA Tour in the world, and we are a national championship with a really rich history. And, you know, I think that we've tried to infuse some of, you know, what, you know, some of our Canadian identity into the tournament and give ourselves, you know, that unique feel and characteristics. So, you know, the rink has grown and been amazing. And, you know, from the time it was introduced to what it's become now, and, you know, it is basically fully enclosed this coming year at Oakdale. So it's grown more and more every year. And, you know, being able to take some of the great things you see on tour, like at the WM Phoenix Open and in other places, this week down at Sawgrass, and, you know, infusing some of that into our experience. You know, the players love it. The fans love it. It's certainly, you know, our most popular spot. It's really a marquee hole for us, you know, being a tournament that moves around and goes to different venues year in and year out. We don't can't necessarily rely on the marquee hole of the golf course because it might not be as familiar to, you know, our fans. But, you know, the rink is able to create that marquee hole no matter where we go. So that's a really, you know, really important element to what, you know, creates the atmosphere that, you know, we've strived to create over the last number of years. As you mentioned, the Snowbirds, we're really excited to have the Snowbirds this year. They'll be performing on Thursday as part of an opening ceremonies to kick off the tournament. We have the Skyhawks, which is the Canadian Forces parajump team, actually performed last year, and they'll be performing again this year as well.
We have Canadian artists that are all part of all the music programming that we do, from the RBCX Music Concert Series through to our Sirius XM stage, which is a stage we run in advance of the main performances on the Friday and Saturday night. So, you know, being Canadian is obviously something we're really proud of. As Golf Canada, it's our job to grow the game of golf in Canada, and we certainly think that the RBC King Open is a big part of that. You know, our chief charitable beneficiary is First Tee Canada, and that's all about driving golf and making sure that more people have access to the game at a young age. So we're really proud of that, and we enjoy showing it off to the world as well.
Before I turn it back to Naz, I want to make sure I get this one out before I run out of time. Oakdale, as I said, I caddied there back in 65, 66, and there was a very prominent, actually two prominent golfers that came out of, were on the PGA Tour, but the one I remember the most was George Knutson, who is considered in the golf world one of the top ball strikers of all time. He would have won a lot more if he had had a better putting, but he was just incredible to watch. Caddies in those days got the opportunity to shag balls for him every now and then. I have distinct memories of George Knutson driving into the parking lot at Oakdale, and he had his shades, he had his sunglasses, he had a Mustang convertible, and he'd always have a cigarette, and I just thought he was the coolest guy in the world. But he was an assistant pro at Oakdale and back in the mid-60s, and some incredible memories of George Knutson. Are there any plans whatsoever to commemorate him at all, and perhaps him and Wolf? Any plans in that respect at all, Brian?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's great to kind of bring that up, that despite the fact that Oakdale has been maybe somewhat quiet on the national scene of golf to some golf fans, they have a very prominent place in our history of golf in Canada. And you mentioned, you know, two of our most prominent kind of historical figures. And of course, that'll be a big part of our time at Oakdale, is kind of recognizing both of those gentlemen. You know, obviously, for some people might even know, their nines are named for Stanley Thompson, the Knutson Nine, the Hominick Nine. So they actually name them for these great Canadian golfers as well, and golf, golf legends. So they'll be part of our festivities. We'll be having our Hall of Fame induction ceremony again this year on the Tuesday, making a return after a couple years on hiatus. So we're excited about that. So they'll be a big part of kind of everything that we do. Is, you know, part of our job is recognizing our history and heritage as well as celebrating, you know, the future.
Naz?
So have you found the demographics have changed since COVID-19?
We saw the demographics of our audience change back in 2019 before COVID. We saw a big shift kind of in that short period of time there, as we introduced new elements, as the date changed, as, you know, all those sorts of factors. And I think in general, there was a bit of shift that had started to occur in golf that certainly was, probably accelerated during COVID, as we've seen, you know, golf have this, you know, wild rise in additional popularity, for participation, because it was, you know, one of the only activities you could do at the time. And I think more and more, as we've seen through, you know, all of the data and statistics that we keep at Golf Canada, and all the work and study and research that we kind of do on a continual basis, you know, I've seen more and more young people, more and more women taking up the game of golf or coming back to the game of golf. I think things like, the Netflix special Full Swing introduces the sport to people that maybe hadn't seen it before. And that was part of our intent in introducing things like the concerts, you know, having people on site that may never have come to a PGA Tour tournament before, but, you know, were motivated to come and saw what it is and now have become fans. And so that's all, you know, very strategic and very intentional in trying to expand the people that are able to enjoy our game. And as I said, that's our job as Golf Canada, and really the stewards of golf in our country, is making sure that more and more Canadians have the opportunity to engage and participate.
We're talking to Brian Crawford, the RBC Canadian Open Tournament Director for the Canadian Open this year at Oakdale. Lou, forgive me. You know how passionate I am about golf. I'm gonna run with this for the next minute or so. Brian, Adam Svensson, Nick Taylor, Adam Hadwin, Connor Hughes, Corey Connors, Mackenzie Hughes, and Taylor Pendrith. We've got six Canadian golfers that any one of these six could win the Canadian Open this year. They are all capable of it. I don't think we've had such a surplus of riches for Canadian golfers on the men's side that have the ability to win on the PGA Tour, six of them. Is this the year we break through? It's been a long time since a Canadian won the Canadian Open.
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to see nothing more than one of our great Canadians win the title this year. And there's certainly no reason why it couldn't happen. As you mentioned, all those guys, they're in contention every single week. We've seen a bunch win this past fall and this past year already. That would be certainly an amazing moment to be part of, to see one of the Canadians be crowned our national champion. So certainly think it can happen. I'm certainly hopeful that it does. And, you know, I believe that we'll see it sooner rather than later. And as an organization, we set a really aggressive goal to see 30 Canadians on the PGA and LPGA tours by 2032. So the development system is there. All of those guys came through the Golf Canada development system. There's tons of great players in the pipeline. And we have more golf courses per capita than anywhere in the world. Canadians love golf. It's the most participated in sport in our country as well. And we've got now the professional players to motivate the future generations to say, hey, I could do that too one day.
Because I got a few minutes left, Lou, I'll turn it over to you. You got an opportunity to play with Adam Svensson at one point, didn't you?
I did. I played with the Pro-Am a few years ago at Glen Abbey. So it was a treat watching someone that you actually played with on TV and doing really well right now. Brian, I'm going to ask you, this golf course is not familiar to a lot of people. What are we going to expect from this golf course? What holes, what kind of drama do you think we're going to get? What kind of golf course is this for everybody to come and watch and the players to play?
Yeah, absolutely. So the first thing off is it's actually a composite routing of the three nines that they have at Oakdale. So it's not a course that's actually been played by very many people. We used it last year for the final qualifier for the 2022 event. So that was kind of the first time it was played in competition. They've used it a bit for some of their leagues now at Oakdale. So it's a new routing. It is a championship golf course for the tournament. It'll be the longest we've ever played the RBC Canadian Open at. It's got a really distinct kind of front nine and back nine. They're very distinct of each other. You've kind of got a front nine that's through Stanley Thompson's original nine and kind of original routing of kind of some rolling, much more rolling hills and topography changes, smaller greens that are well defended that, will be a challenge for the players to hit. And then kind of on the back nine, we, kind of stretch out and really actually there'll be quite a bit of opportunity for scoring down the back nine. I think it'll make for a really exciting opportunities for finishes, guys coming home, coming down the stretch, being able to have a chance for scoring. It's got a really great 18 that is, it's a really cool kind of 500-yard hole with a stream that runs through it to an elevated green that's well defended with bunkers that is, I think, going to be a really interesting hole for players to play. That will provide for scoring opportunities as well because it's going to play as a par five, so it's kind of a short par five, but it's an interesting challenge. So it's another one of these courses that the players looking to play often enough. These Parkland style courses that we have that really require the guys to think their game through, make shots, and they can't just overpower the course the same way that some of the courses that they play on a week to week basis are.
We've been talking to Brian Crawford. We've been talking about the Canadian Open coming to Oakdale in June. Brian, I've got to tell you, I'm excited. I'm looking forward to coming home in a spiritual sense. I've never been more excited about a Canadian Open, and it should be a lot of fun, and we look forward to hopefully you can come back and join us again before the Open. We want to keep talking about it, and all the best. We wish you the best, and it sounds like it's going to be an incredible event. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having us, guys. Look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you, Brian Crawford. Nez, we're past the witching hour here. We always give you the last word. Go ahead.
As always, go Leafs, go.
Lou, thanks for joining us. To all the listeners, thanks so much for joining us. Have a safe week, and we'll be back again next Sunday morning. Thank you for listening.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.